Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 13, Description of the Descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, Part 2, Verses 21 through 48, The Life Story of King Anga. Vidura inquired from the sage Maitreya,
"My dear Brahmana, King Anga was very gentle. He had high character and was a saintly personality. King Anga was a lover of Brahmanical culture. Anga was Shila Nidhe, a reservoir of good characteristics. So how is it that such a great soul got a bad son like Vena, because of whom Anga became indifferent to his kingdom and left it? And how is it that the great sages, who were Dharma Kovida, completely conversant with religious principles, desired to curse King Vena, who himself carried the rod of punishment, and thus awarded Vena the greatest punishment, known as Brahma Shapa? It is the duty of all citizens in a state never to insult the king, even though the king sometimes appears to have done something very sinful. Because of his prowess, the king is always more influential than all other ruling chiefs. And so, my dear Brahmana, you are Vittama, well conversant with all subjects, both past and future. Therefore, I wish to hear from you all the activities of King Vena. I am your faithful devotee, so please explain this." "My dear Vidura, once the great King Anga arranged to perform the great sacrifice known as Ashvamedha, and all the expert Brahmanas present knew how to invite the demigods. But in spite of their efforts, no demigods participated or appeared in that sacrifice. The priests engaged in the sacrifice then informed King Anga, 'O king, we are properly offering the clarified butter in the sacrifice, but despite all of our efforts, the demigods do not accept it. O king, we know that the paraphernalia to perform the sacrifice is well collected by you with great faith and care, and is not polluted. Our chanting of the Vedic hymns is also not deficient in any way, for all the Brahmanas and priests present here are expert and are executing the performances properly. So, dear king, we do not find any reason that the demigods should feel insulted or neglected in any way. Still, the demigods who are witnesses for the sacrifice do not accept their shares, and we do not know why this is so."
Sukta Goswami then said to the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi,
"Maitreya explained that King Anga, after hearing the statements of the priests, was greatly aggrieved, and at that time King Anga took permission from the priests to break his vow of silence and inquired from all the priests who were present in the sacrificial arena, 'My dear priests, kindly tell me what offense I have committed. For although invited, the demigods are neither taking part in the sacrifice nor accepting their shares.' 'O king, in this life we do not find any sinful activity, even within your mind. so you are not in the least offensive. But we can see that in your previous life, you performed sinful activities due to which, in spite of your having all qualifications, still you have no son. O King, Bhadrang Te, we wish all good fortune for you. You have no son, but if you pray at once to the Supreme Lord and ask for a son, and if you execute the sacrifice for that purpose, then Yajnabhok, the enjoyer of the sacrifice, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will fulfill your desire. When Lord Hari, the Yajna Purusha, Supreme Enjoyer of all sacrifices, is invited to fulfill your desire for a son, all the demigods will come with him and take their shares in the sacrifice. Tang Stan Kaman Harir Dadyad Yan Yan Kamayate Jana Aradhito Yatai Vaisha Tata Pungsang Falodayaha. The performer of the sacrifices under karmakanda activities achieves the fulfillment of the desire for which one worships the Lord.
Maitreya continued speaking to Vidura.
Thus, for the sake of a son for King Anga, the priest decided to offer oblations to Lord Vishnu, who is situated in the hearts of all living entities. Lord Vishnu is Shipi Vishtaya, situated within the sacrificial fire itself. And as soon as the oblation was offered in the fire, a person appeared from the fire altar, Hema Mali, wearing a golden garland and a white dress. He was also carrying a golden pot filled with rice boiled in milk. The king was Udaradhi, very liberal, and after taking permission from the priests, King Anga took the preparation in his joined palms and, after smelling it, offered a portion to his wife. Although the queen had no son, after eating that food which had the power to produce a male child, the queen became pregnant by the king and in due course of time gave birth to a son. But that boy was born partially in the dynasty of irreligion, for his grandfather was death personified, and so the boy grew up as his follower. The boy thus became a greatly irreligious person. After fixing his bow and arrow, the cruel boy used to go to the forest and unnecessarily kill innocent deer. And as soon as he would come, all the people would cry, "Oh, here comes that cruel Vena! Here comes cruel Vena!" The boy was so cruel that while playing with young boys of his age, Vena would kill them very mercilessly, as if they were animals meant for slaughter. After seeing the cruel and merciless behavior of his son, King Anga punished Vena in different ways just to reform him. But the king was unable to bring Vena to the path of gentleness. King Anga thus became greatly aggrieved, and the king began thinking to himself, "Persons who have no son are certainly fortunate. They must have worshipped the Lord in their previous lives so that they would not have to suffer the unbearable unhappiness caused by a bad son. A sinful son causes a person's reputation to vanish, his irreligious activities at home cause irreligion and quarrel among everyone, and this creates only endless anxiety. Who, if one is considerate and intelligent, would desire such a worthless son? Such a son is nothing but a bond of illusion for the living entity and makes one's home miserable. However, a bad son is better than a good son because a good son creates an attachment for home, whereas a bad son does not. A bad son creates a hellish home from which an intelligent man naturally becomes very easily detached.
Maitreya continued speaking to Vidura.
Thinking like that, King Unga could not sleep at night. He became completely indifferent to householder life. Therefore, once, in the dead of night, Unga got up from bed and left the queen, his own wife, Vena's mother, who was sleeping deeply. Thus, Unga gave up all attraction for his greatly opulent kingdom, and unseen by anyone, very silently gave up his home and opulence, and proceeded towards the forest. When it was understood that the king had indifferently left home, all the citizens, priests, ministers, friends, and people in general became greatly aggrieved. They began to search for King Unga all over the world, just as Ku Yogina, a less experienced mystic, tries to search out the supersoul within the self. O Paurava, Vidura, when the citizens could not find any trace of the king after searching for Unga everywhere, they were very disappointed, and so they returned to the city, where all the great sages of the country assembled because of the king's absence. With tears in their eyes, the citizens offered respectful obeisances, informing the sages in full detail that they were unable to find the king anywhere.
Guru Mukha Padma Vakya.
It is said by Chanakya Pandit that a father is an enemy when he is too much in debt. A mother is an enemy if she marries for a second time. A wife is an enemy when she is very beautiful. And a son is an enemy when he is a foolish rascal. In this way, when a family member becomes an enemy, it is very difficult to live in family life or remain a householder. A disciple always inquires from the spiritual master, and the spiritual master answers the questions, provided the disciple is very gentle and devoted. The spiritual master is not inclined to disclose all the secrets of transcendental science unless the disciple is very submissive and devoted. Chanakya Pandit therefore says, Putrahinang griha shunyam. Without a son, married life is simply abominable. It is concluded, therefore, that if a person does not get a son, it is due to one's past sinful life. The word shipi vishtaya appears in this section. Shipi means the flames of the sacrifice. In the sacrificial fire, if the oblations are offered into the flames, then Lord Vishnu is situated there in the form of the flames. Therefore, Lord Vishnu is also known as Shipi Vishta. Among the 10 kinds of purificatory processes, one is pungasavanam, in which the wife is offered some prasad, or remnants of foodstuff offered to Lord Vishnu, so that after sexual intercourse with her husband, she may conceive a child. In this case, Vena's mother, Sunita, was the daughter of death personified. Generally, the daughter receives the qualifications of her father, and the son acquires those of the mother. So, according to the axiomatic truth, that things equal to the same thing are equal to one another, the child born of King Anga became the follower of his maternal grandfather. According to Smriti Shastra, a child generally follows the principles of his maternal uncle's house. Naranang Matula Karma means that a child generally follows the qualities of one's maternal family. So if the maternal family is very corrupt or sinful, the child, even though born of a good father, becomes a victim of the maternal family. According to Vedic civilization, therefore, before the marriage takes place, an account is taken of both the boys' and girls' families. If, according to astrological calculation, the combination is perfect, then marriage takes place. Sometimes, however, there is a mistake, and family life becomes frustrating. And it is said that a married couple must have a son, otherwise their family life is void. But a son born without good qualities is as good as a blind eye. A blind eye has no use for seeing, and it is simply unbearably painful. Recorded September 14, 2023 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Aum Tat Sat.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabhi Chithari Radha Madhava Kunjabhi Chithari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharat Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharat Hari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Bharat Hari Jasoda Nandana Gopi Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Gopi Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vana Chari. Yamuna Tira Vana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vana Chari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Gopi Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Jasoda Nandana Gopi Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Jasoda Nandana Gopi Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
All glories to Radha Madhava, for Krishna is the Lord of sweetness and husband of the original goddess of fortune. Sri Govinda enjoys loving pastimes within the groves of Vrindavan, and Krishna is famous as Gopi Jana Vallabha, the lover of the gopi, cowherder maidens of Brajabhumi. Krishna is famous as Giri Varadhari, the lifter and holder of the great hill Govardhan for 7 days and 7 nights when Krishna was only 7 years old. And Krishna is also known as Yashoda Nandana, the beloved son of foster mother Yashoda. Govindaji delights all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And where will you find Krishna? Yes, he's wandering along the banks of the river Yamuna.